there is Valentin Piroshkin, and the title is, I guess, right, that's the one, graph, that's again, graph complexes and
friends.
So, thanks a lot for the invitation. So, just my talk is more, should be a bit advanced than Thomas' talk, so it's more the beginning of this project that Thomas discussed after that, has made much more progress in the scary version, and I will do just much more simple story. And I prefer, in this case, I prefer to start with the subject where just from the very beginning, how to relate it with the opera theory which I get used to. And, but I will not relate to topology, how I always prefer. And the thing, so just one comment is this is. So this talk is based on some project and some papers. So there is one paper on archive joined with Thomas and Marco, which about this is precisely about graph complexes. But I will say a bit more also about the applications, and the applications are in the framing. And this is joint work with Thomas and Victor Turchin, also mentioned this morning. Okay, so the plan will be just, I will start from the very beginning, and so just want to start from the notion of the derivation. So, from the operas. So this story was mentioned during the lectures several times, but let me mostly start from the beginning, how to define them and how to work out some precise computations and how to work out these graph complexes out of the notion of the derivations or deformations. There are two names for more or less the same notions for morphisms. So the way I suggest to compute is just, or not me, the experts here, there's Sergey who is working on this in the proprat level, much more complicated story. It just, but it follows the ideas of Quillen, where you just start from so that the operat itself form a model category, where the vibrant object are just the free operats or quasi-free operats. So if you want to deform really the morphism of two operats, then what you want to ask if this map is. Is it possible to deform this map? Then you have to replace P by a cofibrant resolution, so that R sub P and Q are operats. So then you replace by R is a cofibrant resolution. So it looks like a free operat generated by some new stuff called S, where S is just a collection of representations of symmetric group. And now you want to deform, of course, not this morphism, but the morphisms from the resolution. And we deform it in the way just you're trying to look on the. So now, one of the key ideas of the deformation theory is that the free objects are non-deformable, because they are rigid, because they are free, just they are defined by generators. So if you want to deform this map, so then what you have to do, you have to write down something like F plus epsilon G to be a morphism from R to Q. And you want this to be a epsilon modulo epsilon squared, because so, you're looking for the.
So are you going to go back and say this in sort of planar terms, or is this as plain as it will get.
I will go to one example where you might be better. I don't know. So it's a kind of so far I'm saying only the definition. So I'm taking the morphism of the operator. So take two particular operators P and Q, replace P by resolution by quasi free operator. So f of s means free resolution generated by some vector spaces. So but not vector spaces, but something where Sn is acting. And then I'm looking on the maps from R to from this resolution to the target, and I want this to be a map of the operator. And of course I'm looking for the infinitesimal one, so that means that I'm looking for f plus epsilon g modulo epsilon squared. The target will be just, I'm looking for everything modulo epsilon squared, and this supposed to be a map of the operators. So as a vector space, this is as a vector space, this is defined by the image of the generators. So with this G, so if you're looking for this G, G is defined by the image on the generators. And this is your deformation complex. And now the rest is just to define the differential there. So this is as a vector space, and then the differential is the commutator with this map F. So just to do it in an appropriate way, you want to say the following. So you want, so you should remember that this is, since this is a cofibre resolution, so this is supposed to be this is a quasi-free operator. Operator, and then in most of the cases S, so then S is a co-operator, or better to say, so everywhere you have to place the reward of the multiple. But in most of the cases where we want to compute it, it's just the real cooperate. So let me show it on one particular example. So this example, which I think everybody can do by itself, is just the associative operator. Associative operator, where the operator itself, and I'm looking for the maps from looking for the duration of the identity map. So the operator itself is very well known. So this n-dimensional space is just generated by the, so it depends on in which order you take the multiplication. So associative operator is associative algebra. So this, the space of nr iterations in the associative operator is just the way how you multiply the elements in your algebra. So you have to take n elements and multiply them in some order. So it's expenses similar to the same. So as a vector So as a representation of symmetric group, this is just a regular representation. And then also the known fact that the associative operator is causal dual to itself, so if you are looking for a resolution, you want to take just the Cobar construction or the Cobar construction of the associative cooperator. And this is, so again, I use the fact that the associative cooperator, the zoom rule of the associative cooperator itself. So it's a binary, right? It's a quadratic binary operator generated by binary operation. And just the causal dual is the same. So I don't want to go into details. The main thing I want to use is just that the quasi-free resolution of the associative operator is given by itself. So it's the free operator generated by the same space, but considered not as an operator, but as a cooperator, meaning that you want to look on the same space, on the dual to the same space, and looking for the, instead of compositions, you are looking for co-compositions. Now the map from here to here is given that the generators, the binary generators, go so that the element x1, x2 goes to x1, x2, and all higher terms goes to zero. So everything, all higher generators. Now, if I want to look on this space, how does it look like? So I'm looking for the map from the generators to this operator. So I'm looking for this information complex and derivations for associative operator. And I'm saying about the derivations is the deformations after some sheeted deformation of the identity matrix. So the derivations of the associative properties can be computed via the following complex, where just this is the product of the home over Sn. So you map nr operators of the generators to the nr operators of the target, so it's map from also u of n to n. So as a vector space, this is the same as the map from over n. Regular representation itself, so it's just the product of n of the regular representations of the sense of n in the n dimensional spaces, n factorial, and this space is defined by where to map. So this element from here element is defined. Find here where this element sitting here, this one with Sn, is mapped to now the differential should interact to the initial map. So the differential delta of this map sigma my sigma belongs to Sn should be the element in the dimension n plus 1, in the logical degree n plus 1, and it's defined in the following way. So I just should take, so I'm looking for where I can take the element x1, xn plus 1, where it can be mapped. We are first, so first I make the co-multiplication in this associative cooperant. Then I substitute, then I should take sigma and this pi in all possible ways. So sigma and pi, so between and I will get some answer. So how this answer look like? So let me write it down here. So this okay, so there's one particular example. So if I take the co-multiplication, this means that I can write it as, for example, S1 S2 operation. Then so I just have to write the brackets. And I write x3, x4, xn plus 1. Then I can take, for x1, x2, I can take this map p. And for the rest, I can take this sigma. And I want to do it in all possible ways. Of course, so I have to write minus and signs, which I don't want to do. Means 4, means 2 plus 1. So this term, so this term is mapped to x1, x2, and then you take instead of, so this, so now you have to substitute this sigma. So sigma is, so one of the indices is shifted, is taken twice. So it's the same as for what you, for some you get used to take the doubling of this trend. So you, instead of considering this 1, 2, you, instead of considering 1 here, you have to take 1, 2 over here. So what I want to say that this complex is very simple, and the differential, you can see if you continue the formula, it's, the differential is very close to what you can find in the Hochschild differential. Because it's true, you have precisely n terms, because I can take the brackets and in n plus 1 possible ways. And therefore this, the result is just the thing you can work with. This is the statement, and then so the statement I don't want to show in the details, so just, and this is a short exercise. Mark that if you take, there is a homotopy, so if you take, there is a trivial homotopy, showing that this will be the relations of empty. Empty means that there is only trivial one which you can rescale, which is this product. And the rest is all other deformations vanish. So this deformation derivation assertion is even a cyclic complex. This is not something that you cannot expect, because if there will be any kind of deformations of the assertion structure, then people definitely know that starting from the associative algebra you can get a new associative algebra out of nothing. So it's some universal thing, and of course nobody knows anything universal associated with the associative algebra. But what some of you know very well, and what is one of the goals in this conference, is that there are derivations for other opera. There is the one of the most interesting topological operas is the E, the little discs opera, and the derivations of those contains a lot of data. And this is where these graph complexes come out. So I think that I don't know how was this introduction part for students, but what I, the main goal of this was just we don't need to afraid the precise, the direct computations of this object, and this is what was really made.
So, but what about other operas that we know of? Do we have derivations like, I don't know, Lie opera or kind of?
So the derivations of V is also the derivations of associative, and also there is one more, and people know this, Freddy. So this vanishes.
Commutative
as well. So the derivations of the operand and as you do are the same. So this, all this is empty spaces, and so the natural structure you get used, they're not, they're rigid, it's not possible to reform. But the structure where you can really get a lot of geometry is this little disc opera. Opera E. Oh, little ball. Opera PD, so D corresponds to the dimension D dimension of the ball. And in order to compute this, you just in order, as we have seen here, so this in all those cases, in order to be able to compute this complex of derivations, you have to be clever enough to find a good resolution of your algebra and then do a lot of kind of homological computations with this, with the precise complex, which can simplify your computations. So for ET opera, what is bad is just that the resolution of the ED, bad or not, or maybe good, so there is that there are no, in something there is no very canonical resolution of EDs, because the topologists are more interested not in ED itself, not as an algebraic operator. ED is, let me call it, this topological one. So whenever you pass to the algebraic world, you have to work with chains of ED, which is some very ugly space. But then you also can go to the gomology, which is denoted by smaller D, or better to avoid different notation, this is the Poisson opera, so this is the opera generated by the multiplication and the Lie bracket of degree D. So this opera is more or less good in the sense that this is Kazul, and we know the Kazul dual of it, but this is in order to explain what this is, you really have to go to the world of one of the way how to explain what this is just to use the graph complexes and the story like that. And in the computations, you also cannot avoid this. That's the bad part of the story, but let me state a couple of advertisements about why this, the derivations of this opera will be, how the people come to them.
The Libra should not be degree, D minus 1 or...
Oh, the degree, yeah, D minus 1, yeah. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. So the kind of advertisement is that if you so the first person who came to the story was sensation, he realized that if you know that the deformations of the two, that if you know that H1 of the deformation is zero, so this fact will imply so for him it was important for deformation computation. Gershwin problem, but later on, because of Tamarkin's work and Hester Jones' work, so it's of course, this what kind of statement this implies immediately is, for example, this will imply that formality of U2, just because what kind of statement it is. So you have two operas, what is the statement about formality? That the chains are gamotopy equivalent to the gamology. But if you know that the deformations trivial, so the H1, the real deformations are trivial, this means that this structure will give you some higher structures on the gamology, but you know that there are no higher structures because the deformations are equal to zero. So you apply the formality, and also the Green conjecture also will be covered by mistaken. And many others. So this computation was not successful so far. I don't know if someone can do it. But but nevertheless, some computations with this deformation complex was done. And now let me start with this. How to come out the deformations, and in order to do this, I will recall a couple of good resolutions for this opera of little discs opera. So I call resolutions of. And I need several different resolutions in order to be able to play the game with them. So the simple one, in order to be able to relate to the Grothendieck-Euler story, I need the following. So the first thing is that the Lie algebra of these little discs, a little balls opera, the rational gamotic type of them is a good thing which was defined in the Benoist talk. It's the analog of the so-called Conan group is the algebra. The algebras. And I denote the TD of n, and the index d is important for me because it depends on on the dimension of the disk, but the algebras itself are the same. So these are these super algebras generated by the generators PIPA with the relations such that the degree of PIPA is equal to 2-D. So with dimension 2, this will be just the algebra itself. No super additional gradient. And the standard relation that PIJ with PJK now the commutators are the super commutators. So there are, roughly speaking, two different cases when D is given and D is odd. And for D even we have just an algebra without super part, and for D odd you have the algebra, the super algebra, which contains some non-trivial super part of generators or degree. And therefore, so this change of ODD is just can be realized with V of M and realized that the free or the Chevalier Lindbergh complex of this TD of M. So if you want to work really not with the derivations in the category of operands, but when you want to work with the derivations in the category of co-operands, what then I like to do is then you really have to deal with some kind of replace ED by the free algebras. So in each space you have to work with the free algebras. So we will use it later. So this is the first resolution. You want to have the second one is given by the graphs. So I don't know really the reference for this story, so it belongs, first belongs to Ronald Solomon and then by the Tupola, but for graphs, so this is, so this first was described by Kantsevich and then later on by Van Brecht and Wallich, where they just describe this formality for ED in a detailed way. So the graphs, let me do it also in a bit detailed way. So this is the thing that you can, we have seen also several times, we have seen this, the operand that was acting on the polyvector fields. And it should be defined in the same way, so I just, but the only ideological thing that I prefer is just, it's better work not with the operand, but with the co-operand, because there you can avoid the sums. And you can do it in the following way. So first, let me explain what was the operand graph, the co-operand graph, and operand acting on the polyvector fields in the symmetric algebra rated by V plus V shifted by here this index D comes out. So this is the space of n other operations is generated by graph. Where the vertices are marked by numbers 2, 3, 4, what can you do with the graph? So with some symmetry relation that was also in the morning, but how to get the operand structure, or the better to say the cooperand structure, you can do it in a very simple way. Just saying that if you have the graph gamma and the subgraph gamma prime, then out of the data you can subtract this subgraph. So it means that if I draw this somewhere here, so I can just take all the vertices in this graph complex going to one point, and then I can replace my, so that means that my graph gamma and the subgraph gamma prime give me another graph. So that means that, in other words, and I can replace all these by one, so some vertices, the white one are numbered, but there are also some other vertices, which is used the black color, and the types of them, and they are not numbered. And for them, it's, we have to take the thing from this, what was proved by many people, that this opera, if you get the conventions of the sign that was in the morning, then you will get the same thing, so then you will get the opera that gives you a resolution of the opera ED. And of course the graph itself may not be connected, but this gives you a hint on the following thing. So then now I take the result theorem that belongs to Thomas. His main famous theorem after what he started to do with graph complexes is that the relations of the ED is so in order to work with it you can use this resolution of just the bar resolution of Poisson to this graph. And then, so this is the middle step, what kind of resolutions you have to pick up. And then the statement is that the result is given in terms of graph complexes in a symmetric algebra generated by the by the graphs without so I forgot to say that here of course you need the differential delta is the enlarging of the splitting of the vertex. So now, if you want to work with this graph, so then there is so you now forget about all white vertices and you can see, so you symmetrize by all vertices and you can see the graphs where just only black vertices are allowed. And then, as it was mentioned in the morning, so there are two types of, so there are three components in this thing. So there is the part that is called GCD, greater equal than 3, so this is the graphs. Valences greater equal than 3 plus valences greater equal than 2, and there is at least one vertex of valency 2, and also there is a part with the valency greater equal than 1, and at least so the symmetric algebra corresponded here, I consider the connected graphs, because of course the all graphs in the symmetric algebra of its connected component. And now what is really people try to compute is just here, so you have this, what is called GCD rate equivalent 3. This is the most complicated part. So here we know the how the gamma look like the loops. So this is, and this is a cyclic part. And this part is so the loops with so here with vertices, the number of vertices is twice number of vertices equal to 1 mod 4. So just so because of some symmetry conditions, not all loops are allowed, but just only 1/4 of them. So
what's the condition?
Here the twice number of vertices is number of edges. Twice number of vertices. So this was the hint how to relate these deformations of this ED to the graph complex that was in the morning. And also, I want to say that there is an embedding of this story, of this, if you forget about the connected part, so that this what you get here, if you use another resolution, which is just the T Chevalier and their complex of T of M, then there is an embedding of this into the just the complex, that is T D of the simplicial complex N plus 1. So this TD of n form a simplicial set, and then out of that you can get the standard complex, and this is where initially the GRT leaves using the definition of Drinker, for where d is equal to 2. I don't want to go into the details, but what I want is I want to say some. Some comments about what is known for this complex, just what kind of bounds we can get. This part is understandable, and then this part is, of course, what you have the grading, so this GCD is a graded complex with respect to the loop order. And just because the differential which splits the vertex does not change the loop order of the graph. So then you can write down the node constraint. So just to note how it works. So this, there are two, as you can see, so this, as it was explained in the morning, there are two different cases when D is odd and D is even, and all the rest is just by the shifting. And these two different cases correspond that either you can see that the vertices numbered, so that either the permutation of vertices is an even is giving you the sign, or the permutation of edges giving you the sign. So known constraints. So I will write them only for d equals 2 and d equals 3. So this h minus 1 of gc 2 is equal to 0. This is a constraint that goes from this map that in this component there is nothing in lower degrees. Then another constraint is that h greater than equal than l minus 2. If you have the loop order l, then the number of then the cohomological degree should not be very high. GC2. This is also, and this is just a simple computation because all the vertices have values at least 3, and then you can compute the number of vertices should be 3 times 3 mod 2 compared to the number of edges, and then it's this kind of thing. And also then there is one more thing, which is just the famous result of Thomas, is that this GH0 is just this GRT1. This is first, so the embedding in that direction was proved by Tamarkin. The equality was proved by Thomas. And there is, and what we also now can use is that this is the theorem of Brown. There is an embedding of the Frege algebra into C5 and so on. So we know, therefore, that H0 is really quite huge space. So the conjecture, still open conjecture of H1 of GC2 is equal to 0. And more or less, and these two constraints, and then the rest is was just a compute experiment. And one of the way to work with this to work out these cociphers was presented in this morning using these extra differentials. And this is what I will do in the second hour, but let me state the same thing for this one for D even, here for D odd. So I want to have the same kind of experience of H is also 0. Yes, there is. There is this. And you can tell me. Classes. Classes in. These are results. So this is nice here. Okay, I think I will stop now for a break.
Questions or comments? So how is it? These computations that we saw in the morning, right? So none of it possibly contradicts this H1=0 conjecture, right? So
yeah, so far. So far we continue with this. Here H. And here the same conjecture
H-4. How is it? But if H1 is not zero, it doesn't contradict. It also doesn't contradict things that we know, like formality or whatever, right? It may still be possible.
It may still be possible. Yeah.
So it would just be like then formality becomes a miracle if H1 is non-zero, but.
Yes.
But it is.
But it's in, it doesn't contradict yet. There is.
Any other questions?
No, can I make sure that what 2 and 3, GC2 and GC3 look like? Maybe each component.
Each component?
So which kind of graph will appear?
The graphs are shaped like that. You mean what kind of symmetries or conventions in the symmetries or just so let me see. Let me recall the conventions from the morning, so given K things like this because we can switch the orientation mm-hmm. and this gives you a sign. And here no multiple dentures mm-hmm. because you can mm-hmm. change the radius.
And what is D in this
Here D is
and dimension.
So D is 2. Yeah. D is the dimension of it's D comes from the dimension of here from this disk. So D computes the dimensions of it's the vertices out dimension. So now if you want to compute the gomological degree, then this D affects this gomological degree. This is number of D times number of vertices times 1 minus D times number of edges plus some shift. If I
focus on the D is not related to the picture of graph.
D, so the parity of D affects only, so only the parity of D affects the picture of the graph. Only the parity of D, only just if it's even or odd.
Yeah.
It affects how the graphs may look like.
Only the parity.
Uh-huh. And therefore, the, that's why this, all these complexes are the same for all different D. But then the homological conventions, which you can conceive this dimension and this and this, these dimensions comes out of the they are affected from D and they comes out from this, from the thing that you're considering the little D balls of that. Yes.
It's a mistake that GC3 is acyclic in minus 2. There are wheels. 7 wheels and 9 wheels, that's 40 degree.
This is without...
Yeah, okay. This is... okay.
Any other questions? If not, I suggest we have a 10-minute break.